So that was the first one. So this one, I know I'll probably be singing that one. So Graves Under Gardens will be as well, capo 3. Wait, what chords do you have there?
I don't even know what song you're talking about.
Graves Under Gardens?
I don't think we've got a copy of that.
Access to the printer?
I can make copies.
You can make copies of a paper. That makes sense. Okay. All right. Well, to keep it going, I'm going to let you use this. Because it's really just the tempo we want to be. When she gets here, if she wants to do a bridge once or like, I don't, that's fine. That's just preference at that point. But the tempo is what we need. Hi. How are you feeling? Must be the, like, the big band days. I love that music. And that, the big hair, the swing dancing. Ugh, I should have been born then.
Again, I'm really sorry.
Okay.
All right. Randy, would you like to lead us in prayer?
Yeah.
Would you do it again?
We all need prayer.
Amen. Thank you. Christina and Phil are at the ER, so he's got a real bad infection. So, anyway.
Sorry. How are you feeling?
I'm doing okay. I'm glad I'm here. Glad I made it. Okay. All right. So, should we go on the first song then? Okay.
Forever?
Yes.
What key do you have that in?
I have it in G.
Okay.
Okay, Randy, you got the tempo? Okay. The capo 3 and see if that works, okay?
Okay.
Because this is too low for me. Feel free to join in whenever
we
you
actually,
want.
We practiced this capo 3 because I tried doing the G and I said, oh my gosh, I can't sing that.
I can't either.
I can't either. Yeah, so,
okay.
So that's
in your real house, okay?
Yeah. So, but
okay.
Good morning, Pastor.
Sorry.
How are you feeling?
Yeah, let's pray.
Lord, we ask that God that you pour into us your service for your glory.
pray that you just take this team, anoint them for your service, Father Jesus.
Amen. Thank you. Okay, here we go. All right. Okay, whenever you're ready, Randy.
Sorry.
No, take your time.
All right, better.
So,
okay.
Yes, do you want us to try it like we did, or do you want to lead it?
How are you doing it?
You want to do it like we did before?
Sure.
Okay.
Like a bunch of extra stuff, but we'll just end like that. I think that was a good simple sweet ending.
Okay,
you like that?
I like that. Okay, take it away.
I don't have
it for you.
You could do this, obviously, however you want. I think the drums usually kind of come in at the first chorus.
Yeah.
So when I say, oh, there's nothing you can either do that then, or if you want to wait till we do verse 2, I'm not afraid, and then you can kind of boom, kind of jump in there if you want. So we could start off really slow.
How you doing, sweetie?
You don't have to be like totally silent, you know what I mean? Like however you feel comfortable. All right, Susie. You got it in the same, it's going to be in the same key, right, that we just did?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I don't know if we're matching.
I don't
Can
know
I get
know.
Your G? Oh, yeah. And then your C? There we go. Yeah, that's good.
I can play in the lower octave.
This is the key that we can sing it the best, I think.
I mean, but in this octave down here. Play the C, okay?
The C?
Yeah.
Is that better? It gives a little bass. Okay, yeah. So you want to play up?
Yeah,
see,
play
that's why I like the keyboard. That's why I pray every day, Lord, touch my fingers.
Okay, here we go.
Okay.
Whenever you're ready.
So it starts on the G. I search the world, they couldn't fill me. Man's empty praise, treasures of faith, never enough. You came along, you put me back together. Every disease. is like an 8-minute song, but I'm sure we don't want to do that. So that was the arrangement that I thought would work best for the time.
Yeah,
do you like, is that fine?
Yeah, that's okay, fine.
Yeah,
with
that's
me.
What I, yeah, because that song, if you hear the concert version, they're like, ah! C-C-C-G, just remember that, C-C-C-G, that's all. When the drummer's doing the bam, 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 we're doing, it's just. You like it better on the acoustic? Yeah, I need a pedal for that. It's not, without the pedal, it's kind of flat. Yeah.
That sounded great, Katrina. That was wonderful.
I love that song.
I do too.
Don't ask me to play that song. I'll play it every single day.
That's the first time that we've done that since.
It's a special song to me. My nephew asked me to sing it to him one time because he didn't know it. And I wasn't walking with the Lord at the time, so I didn't want to. But you can't say no to your nephew.
Aww.
So I started, as I was playing it for him, the words of the song just kind of welled up in me. And I'm like, I feel dead right now. I do feel like a great.
Aww.
So it's a special song to me.
Yeah, those life-changing moments.
Yeah.
Thank you. Okay. All right. Now, this is going to be a two, okay? Capo two.
Okay. What key, what chords do you have?
I have F, C, F, B flat.
Okay, what key are you?
It's in F.
You want it in F? Do you like it in F?
It's in F.
Because that's high.
I know, but if we do the capo 2, then it should bring it down. I guess, I don't know.
Yeah, so.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, let's try it. You got it? You have it? You don't have it? Okay.
Do you feel comfortable in the key with just singing, Susie? Do you feel comfortable in the one we just did?
Yeah.
So you probably feel more comfortable in a B flat as well.
Yeah, I bet
that
I would.
That's probably hurting your voice because it's so high.
It is high.
Because this is the F. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. And I could do that for one line, and then I'm going to pass out.
Okay.
And light unto. So that's a D.
Okay, let me see.
You're singing it in G now. Do you want to? You can keep it in that. We just got to transpose the capo. That's no problem.
Just put the F with the capo too, and I should be great. Would you make a copy of this, please? I'm sorry. Yeah. You know what happened was it was stepping. This has been a lot of cat. You're gonna have a good leader with her. Okay. All right, let's skip that one for now while we're getting the copies made and we'll go. Thank you for the blood, okay? And that's no capo.
Thank you for the blood.
Thank you, Jesus, for the blood. And so we'll take the capos off for that one, I think. uh-huh. Okay, let's give it a try and see how we do, okay? Randy, you want to bring us in? Oh, never mind. Here they come. Back to square one. You got the bad copy. You got the bad copy. We're going to get a copy machine on.
We're going capo two on this?
Yeah, capo two. Okay, back to capo two, thy word, okay? Okay, here we go. Let's play the F, C, F, B flat, C, F, and then start, okay?
It's still high. It's really high.
It's up.
Are you comfortable with that one?
I'm fine with that.
Okay,
I
if you're fine.
To a lower octave,
if
and
you're,
then I'm fine.
Yeah, if you're fine, I'll follow you. I'll probably maybe come in on the chorus and give.
All right. Is there anybody else have an issue with that? Did you have everything that you needed?
Did you have that on the F or
a D? I ended it off, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
You're the love unto my path. Unto my path. F. Okay. I gotta go through the whole thing to figure it out. Okay. So, okay. We ready? This mic is moving around. Okay. So we'll just go the first instrumental and first part, okay? Randy, can you remind me what the tempo is?
Capo 3?
No, this
I'm
isn't.
Different.
This is
I'm
no capo.
I'm transposing, so.
No capos around unless you need one, okay? was a wretch. I remember who I was. I was lost, I was blind, I was running out of time. Sin separated, the breach was far too wide. But from the far side of the chasm, you held me in your sight. So you made a way.
That's a sweet song. I've never heard that end. That's really nice.
Oh, okay. Okay. So, anything else that we need to go through or questions or... And again, I apologize, Scott, for all the crazy this week. And Katrina, such a wonderful addition to our worship team. Such a blessing.
I don't want to harass you about the keys.
No, that's No, it's good. That's
if I show up and it's already in my little iPad,
yeah.
My brain.
Yeah, well, that won't happen for long because, you know, next week is my last week.
So, oh, no.
So the first two were capable of three?
Oh, give thanks to the Lord. And we want to do that celebrating with Thanksgiving. But oh, give thanks to the Lord. It should be a part of our makeup every day. Not just a one-time event that we come here to give thanks. That should be part of our makeup. It should be part of our who we are in Christ, that to give thanks for everything that he's done, to give him the glory. So today we're having Thanksgiving dinner, as everyone probably is aware of, after the service. If possible, remain after the service for this great fellowship meal. And I'm sure it's going to be. You know, I'm anticipating, Dan, if you could speed up the word today so we're all hungry. Okay. We're going to move in January. Dan closed Revelation, and we're moving in the book of Hebrews, okay? The supremacy of Christ. And it'll begin in January, again, here on Sunday at 10:30 a.m. Wednesday evenings, Dan will be picking up 2 Chronicles in January. And in the month of December, there's going to be a series on Jonah, a three-week series in Jonah. So meet at 7 o'clock here in the sanctuary. And again, I always encourage people to come out on a Wednesday evening and get renewed and refreshed in the Word of God. Prayer ministry. Barry will not be here this Thursday because it's Thanksgiving. So there's no need to show up because no one will be here. But also, I'm thinking about prayer before the service on Sunday and on Wednesday evenings. They meet in the prayer room in the back at 10 o'clock on Sunday and 6:30 on Wednesday evening. And if you have any questions about that, please see Sandra or Mark, and they would love for you to join them. The men's ministry, you know, we've been going through the book of Romans. And the news is our men's and women's ministry and Bible studies will be on break until January. The men will be the prayer practice guys, and we'll be picking on the new year at 9:30, January 10th. And there'll be a sign-up sheet for how you can participate, what you can bring, and that'll come in a few weeks. The women's ministry. The women's ministry will soon begin the Song of Solomon, Bible study written by Susie. It's going to be a 12-week study. We'll begin on Friday, January 9th at 10:30. Study books will soon be available. Sign up to bring breakfast treats and snacks, and which will be on the information center. And if it comes with the food, what to bring, please see Christina Marone. Discipleship, couples discipleship, that goes on once a month, and we'll be picking up a meeting on Monday, December 1st at 6 p.m. And it's an opportunity to not only come and be disciple, but to grow in the Lord and disciple others. So if you have any questions or how to be involved with this, please see my wife. Where is she at? She's not here. We see my wife Elaine or myself, and we're more than happy for you to join us. It seems to be it out. For announcements, I say there will be no midweek service this Thursday or this Wednesday. So just as a reminder, when we go to the Lord in prayer, there's also offering boxes. There's two boxes in the back of the sanctuary and a box on the other side of the doors. So as the Lord moves in your heart, as the Lord stirs your heart to give what He's already given us, then please give unto the Lord. So when we go to the Lord in prayer, Lord, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for your power, Lord God, that you will continuously move through this room, touch hearts, and change lives, Lord God. Lord, we're here to bring you glory. We're here to exalt you. We're going to exalt you, Lord, through the fellowship, through the worship for the worship team up here and the worship team that's in the seats, praising the Lord. So, Lord, I pray that you would take these tithes and offerings and use it for your kingdom. Bless the gift and the giver. In the mighty name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Amen. Let's all stand together. Welcome to Calvary Chapel. So glad that you're here today. Lord, we thank you, God. We just want to lift up the name of Jesus this morning. We're so thankful for you, God. I know we're getting ready for Thanksgiving, and this turns our hearts to realize how thankful we should be and could be and are for you, Lord God. We thank you, God, just for your faithfulness and your love to us, Lord, in every situation of life, Lord. You're there for us, and we thank you, oh God.
There's not a place your mercy. better than you. Oh, there's nothing, nothing is better than you. Oh.
Lord, we're just so grateful, and we thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, that your glory just exceeds everything that we can even think or imagine. And Lord, when we think about the universe and the vastness of it, and at one time, man counted 1,100 stars, and yet, Lord, now here in this time that you've put us in, Lord, it's known to be innumerable, and Lord, we thank you. We thank you that we can see a little bit more in these last days, a little bit more of your creation in ways, Lord, that we never dreamed or imagined, and it just gives us an excitement to what's ahead for us, what's to happen to us, Lord. After we leave here and we go on to be with you, the wonders that you have for us. Oh God, we're so excited to know that you have wonderful things ahead for us. And we learn all of this, Lord, by reading your word. And Lord, it's your word that takes us beyond anything we can hope or dream and reveals to you about you, Lord, to our hearts. And we thank you, oh God. We thank you for your word. And we bless you, Lord, and thank you for it.
Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto light unto my path. When I feel afraid and think I lost my way, still you're there right beside me, and nothing will I fear as long as you are near. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word my guide and hold me to your side. The breach was far too wide, but from the far side of the chasm, you held me in your sight. So you made a way across the great divide, left behind heaven's throne to build it here inside. And there at the cross, you paid the debt I owed, broke my chains, freed my soul. For the first time I had hope. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood applied. Thank you, Jesus, it has washed me white. Thank you, Jesus, you have saved my life. Brought me from the darkness to your glorious light. You took my place, laid aside my tomb of sin. You were buried for 3 days, but then you walk right out again. And now death has no sting, and life has no end. For I have been transformed by the blood of the Lamb. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood applied. Thank you, Jesus, you have saved me white. Thank you, Jesus, you have saved my life. Brought me from the darkness into glorious light. There is nothing stronger than the wonder-working power of the blood. The blood that calls us sons and daughters. We are ransomed by a Father through the wonder-working power of the blood. The blood that calls us sons and daughters. We are ransomed by a Father through the blood. The blood. Thank you, Jesus,
Jesus, for the blood applied. Thank you, Jesus, you have washed me white. Thank you, Jesus, you have saved my life. Brought me from the darkness into glorious light.
Glory to his name. Glory to his name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to his name. Give the Lord a clap offering, shall we? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, we love you, and we just look forward to what you have for us in your word. May we receive it, Lord, with joy this morning, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, good morning, everyone. Good to see everybody. Be seated. Or you can reach around and say hello to one another. You know, feel free, you know. Take a chance. All right. Now, that was interesting. A cappella, that was really cool. Way to go. That was, the keyboard did it, huh? Yeah. It wasn't me, it was the keyboard. All right. It's good to see. Amen. Well, good morning, everyone. It's good to be together and just to give glory to God and to be thankful. You know, there's so many reasons why we should be thankful, but the main reason is God. You know, He is the author and the finisher of our faith, and he who's begun a good work in you will finish it. And so he's at work. The scripture tells us that he never slumbers nor sleeps, and there he is. He's behind the scenes, and what he's doing is he's working on our behalf. And he is a loving, selfless God. He doesn't think about himself. He thinks about us. I know the thoughts that I think toward you. He's always thinking about you. Isn't that wonderful? I think that's great. That's a good reason to give thanks. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this time that we can all be together. We ask, God, that you would pour your Spirit upon us. Holy Spirit, we open ourselves to you. Lord, we surrender. Lord, however you want to take us, Lord, we'll follow. We ask, God, that you would reveal to us, Lord, the understanding of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Interesting. We're here, and we know Thanksgiving is in another few days, but we get to do this together as a church, as a family of God. And so we're here to say thank you, God, to bless God. And the word Thanksgiving is made up of two words, thanks and giving. Thanks is a response for what has been given. And here's a good indication of what's been given, and the reason and the source is God. For God so loved the world, John 3:16, that he gave his only begotten son. There's that word, he gave. He is the initiator, and we are the responder. He initiates his love, and we respond to that love. How much love has God loved us? He's loved us with an everlasting love. He's loved us to the extent that he would send his own son into the world to die for us, to take my place that I deserved on the cross and for you. And for us, all we can say is, you know, what shall I give unto the Lord, Psalm says. Psalm says this, I shall take up the cup of salvation. This is what we do. If he's given us salvation, he says, here's the cup. Do you want it? What shall I give to you? He says, you don't have to give me anything. Just take the cup. And so isn't that great? He doesn't ask us to give anything. He says, take what I give you. And in that cup is the cup of salvation. Peter said this in 2 Peter, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. He's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Everything that's pertaining to the physical or the spiritual has come from God. Everything that we have, we become so caught up in our own world sometimes. You know, we're doing our own thing. We think of that we're all this and we're all that, but we got to realize that, you know, we were formed in our mother's womb. He was there with us in our mother's womb. He began with us, and we will end with him if we come to him. And that's really a paramount thing about Thanksgiving, is that God is at the source of the beginning and the end. He starts with us and he ends with us. And I'm thankful for that. I'd sure hate to go out of here without God. You know, what a place. We talked about that Jesus talked about being cast into the outer darkness, that outer darkness, and there's flames. Well, how can you have flames in the outer darkness? We're going back to Revelation now. I can't help it. We just came out of there, so we have to go back a little bit. And that there will be those that would be cast in the outer darkness. The outer darkness is like a black hole that has flames. You don't see them, you don't feel them, but you can feel them, and they're evident there. But on the other side of that, hey, there's this place that's got pearls for gates and streets and foundations with gold. I think I'd rather go that way. I mean, that's all. But he's given us all things that pertain to that. James said this, every good gift, James 1:17, every good gift. How many good gifts is that? Every. Every good gift. And every perfect gift. You ever have a perfect gift? Just, if you're married, look over, and there she is. That's a perfect gift. Or him. Comes from above, a gift is from above, and comes down from the Father of lights, where there is no variation. In other words, he doesn't change. I'm the Lord your God, I don't change. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. He doesn't change. There's no variation. There's no changing. Or shadow. You know, in a shadow, you can't really tell what's going on. Well, God says this, you know, I'll show you what's going on. He doesn't hold back, does he? He opens up the light and gives us understanding to what we don't understand. And then in Thessalonians, Paul says this concerning giving thanks. He says, rejoice always. Is that hard? It is, isn't it? It is. It's hard to rejoice. You're going through a hard time. You're going through a struggle. You're going through something stressful. He says, rejoice always. Lord, I need to rejoice. He says, go ahead, rejoice. Just do it. And sometimes it's hard to do that. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Now, that's a difficult one. You're going down the road, and we think about praying, and what do you do when you pray? You shut your eyes. Well, there's another scripture that goes to that. It says, watch while you pray. So you're going to watch while you pray. But pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. In everything. This is a hard one. This is what I'm going through. It's hard to say thank you. But you can say thank you if you believe that he is the God that's behind the whole scenes and he's working everything together for the good for you, Jeremiah 29:11 says. If you can believe that, you can go, okay, Lord, thank you. I don't understand it, but I'm going to say thank you. For this, now this is an important part of this verse of Thessalonians. This is the will of God in Christ for you. This comes down to every circumstance, rejoicing, praying, and giving thanks for everything. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus that we do this. It's God's will. You want to know what God's will is? There it is right there. When I first got saved, I sat back and thought there was a checkoff list for the will of God. So I said, where is it? Where is it? And this guy grabbed his Bible, and he goes, the checkoff list is right here. Oh, wow. That's a big list. But you know what it is? It all comes down to one thing, coming to Christ. That's the only thing you have to do. And then he begins to feed into us all those things that pertain to life and godliness in Christ Jesus. We are to learn of him. We're to grow in him. We're to allow him to inhabit our lives through the Holy Spirit. So we're going to talk about that thankfulness, of being of thanksgiving. And as you can see here from these scriptures, that the root and roots of thanksgiving come from the Word, come from God's Word. They're here for us. And that's why we're going to take some of that today, and we're going to highlight on a few of those things pertaining to giving thanks And the first one that I bring up here is Psalm 107, verse 1 through 3. Now, many believe this psalm is a psalm of David. They're not really sure, but we see consistency throughout the scriptures. There's like 12 other psalms that have this very portion of this verse in them. And so we pick up on this one in Psalm 107. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered out of the lands from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. Okay, so we look at this psalm and we tear it apart. And he says, oh, give thanks to the Lord. That's the first thing, give thanks. And then he says, for his mercy endures forever. The word forever in the Hebrew is olam, and it means past the vanishing point. Wow, give thanks to the Lord. For his mercy is past the vanishing point. You need mercy? Don't worry. God's got enough. He can take care of it. There's enough there. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Okay. The theme here in this verse, or in these verses here, is about how God humbled Israel. How he humbled them and he took care of them in the wilderness wanderings. They were there and they were wandering around. They didn't know where they were going. And yet God led them. And as he led them, he was teaching them. Do you know that a wilderness is a teaching moment for us? It's a teaching moment for God to sit back and say to us, where are you? Do you realize where you are? You know why they ended up there in the wilderness is because of unbelief. God says, go in and take the land. Well, there's giants in the land. And so it was because of unbelief, because they didn't trust what God said. They said, well, they'd come back and they get these grapes that were this big. Could you ever see a grape that big? And what they did, and we're like grasshoppers, you know. And so it was because of their influence of their unbelief affected a lot of people. Do you know that unbelief, it affects people? But faith and stepping out, Caleb and Joshua, they go, come on, man. They're going to be nothing to us. We can take them. And we sit back and we look at some of the skeletons that they have found from these giants today. The tallest one that they have found is 30 feet tall. Just huge. I've got some pictures of these starting with Goliath here, and these different, and then there was one King Og. He's about this big. And Goliath was almost 10 feet tall, close. Og was up here, I can't remember, 15 feet. Then they go up this, and then they go up, and they had this final guys like this. And they have skeletons that I have found of these guys. So anyway, I'm way off track. God humbled them and took them through the wilderness. And while they were there, they were wandering around until God brought them to a place of rest. He brought them to a place that also another challenge was to get across to that promised land. Once that generation had died out, guess what? The kids took over. And this is a good thing. Kids taking over is a good thing. The kids took over and they came up to the river. And as they came to the river, you're getting an Old Testament lesson right here now. They came up to the Jordan as the Jordan was at its flood banks, flooding from both sides to the outside. And above you ever seen a river flood? It's a scary thing, really. And they came up to the Jordan. It was flooding. And so as the Lord said to them, as you step in, you take the ark, and as you step in, it will separate. Now, I'm paraphrasing all this. So what they did is that it took them to a place, and what they did at the Red Sea was that God says, stand back and see the salvation of the Lord, and the Red Sea went, and they didn't really, you know, they didn't have to do anything. This time, they have to do something, and what it is, they have to take a step of faith. And every time they took a step, the water went like this at flood stage, and the water says that it's separated. And as they did, you can imagine, you're looking here, and the water's going like this. As they're taking, they get across. Do you think they were thankful? I think so. I think they were thankful. The word thanks appears 72 times in the Bible. Now, when God says one time a certain thing, it's vital. It's important. if he repeats it more than once, it's an imperative. In other words, it's a command. You have to understand giving thanks. Give thanks in all things, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. This is a command. Being thankful changes our lives. It'll change your circumstance. It'll change who you are. So the roots of thanksgiving come from scriptures, and the Puritans picked up on this. And so this is where and why and how they began the first thanksgiving there. Psalm 107 gives us three points that point to the reason why we should. First of all, he's good. God's good. You got to believe that he's good. He's not out to get you. And that's a problem with a lot of people. They think that God's out to get them. He's not out to get you. He's out to protect you. He's out to save you. He's out to watch over you. He's out to keep you. He's to keep you from stumbling. He's keep you from everything. It's like just that surrender. We're the one who walk outside of the shield of God. The shield of God is his angels surround us. Thou, Lord, art a shield about me. He's my shield. He's the glory, and he's the lifter of my head. He's the one who causes me to triumph. He causes me to do that. In and of myself, I don't have it. I don't have it. And then it says, his mercy endures forever, endures forever. Olam, it's past the vanishing point. Because he has redeemed us. Interesting here concerning these two points. Romans 2:4 says, or do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, long-suffering, and knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? He's talking to the church. He's not talking to, basically, to the unsaved, but it does apply to them. But he's talking to the church. Or do you despise the riches of his goodness? What was going on? Why was he saying that? Something was happening in the church that they were despising the goodness of God. They were despising the fact that he was forbearing them. He was, in other words, he was putting up with a lot that they were going through. He was long-suffering because they were doing things that they shouldn't be doing. Not knowing that the goodness of God leads us, or lead you, to repentance, or us, put that in there. It's the goodness of God. And then in Lamentation, it says, though the Lord's mercies were not, we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Great is the faithfulness of God to greet you in the morning when you wake up and you step out of that bed and you put your feet on the ground. And as soon as you hit the ground, he says, mercy. Mercy is there to greet you. This word mercy can also be translated loving kindness. You wake up in the morning, there's God's loving kindness. I'm here for you. He didn't come here to destroy us. He came here to save us. Now, this second verse is an interesting verse. Verse 2 is a cue for us to respond. Okay? He says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Okay? Say so. It's up to you. Have you been redeemed? Say yes. The redeemed of the Lord say so. I am redeemed. Say it. I am redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I am redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Isn't that cool? Doesn't that feel good? You can say it amongst each other, and it's not something that we're getting hyper-Pentecostal about. We're just talking about the Lord and his goodness. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. So once you've experienced that goodness and you've been redeemed and the mercy of the Lord, he commands us to tell others. When he says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, look for the opportunity when God presents it. Paul said this, I find a common ground with all men that I may win some. There are those moments when you will be presented. It just because you're a believer now, you've crossed from the enemy's camp into God's camp. And once you cross that into his camp, you're there, and what is going to happen is you're going to be presented with an opportunity to share Christ. You know, somebody can come over, a guy's going to come over and work on the air conditioning. Okay, a guy's going to come over and do this and go do that. And something will happen. Somebody, he'll say something, you know, wow, isn't this a great day? You know, it is. And you know what the Bible says about that? And you say, it's a good day to rejoice. It's a good day. This is the Lord. This is the day that the Lord has made. I'll rejoice and be glad in. You know that God loves you? There are those moments. I'm just telling you, you know, with the guys here, I'll tell them and I'll challenge them. I'll say, well, where's that in the Bible? You need to do that too. You need to do that with your husband and your wife and your friends and your family and those outside. Where is that? You find the moment where the circumstance fits the scripture, then you go, you know what? Where is that in the Bible? Is that in the Bible? It sure is. Many of the times you're going to find that it is. But it's interesting here, after we've been redeemed, the Holy Spirit does a work in us, and he causes us to respond to that salvation. And when we do, because we've been redeemed, we've been set free. This word redeemed basically means to buy back. You've been redeemed. Now, most of you aren't up there with me in age, but we used to be able to take Coke bottles back and redeem them back at the store. See, some of you can relate to that, but you know, not many of you, but we used to be able to do that. Now it's aluminum cans, you know, whatever. Paul said this to the Corinthians in chapter 6, verse 19 and 20. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You don't belong to yourself anymore. When we realize that rapture, that moment in the twinkling of an eye, that we'll be changed and we'll be like him, in that moment, we're going to realize something. We're going to realize that my life changed right here, right now. You are alive in the spirit forever right now. You're born again. The way you are now in your heart is going to be fulfilled completely in that moment. But right now, you are in that place in God's eyes, perfect. Really? Me? Yeah, you. If you have Christ in your heart, you have perfection in your heart. Isn't that kind of hard to realize? It is. Especially when we know that we're struggling between the flesh and the spirit, and we know that we do those things that we shouldn't do. And I am struggling, and you are struggling, and we all struggle. It's called the struggle with the temptation to sin. And everybody does. But guess what? We have a vanguard inside of our heart is there to give us power to overcome. And his name is the Holy Spirit. He's there to lead and guide us. He's there to empower us. He's there to give us the strength in the moment to overcome. You were bought at a price. You're no longer your own. You belong to God. My will becomes his will. And that's where we get swallowed up. When we get in heaven, our will is going to be totally, this whole pull towards sin anymore, it's going to be gone. It's going to be gone. I can't wait. I hate this thing. I hate the pull that sin does. I hate it. But on the other side, I love the pull towards love and joy and peace and meekness, mildness, long-suffering, temperance, and self-control. I love that. I love that part of the Spirit. I love that part of what he does. In heaven, oh, that's going to be the will of our will to do that, to do the will of the Father. We'll be free, totally free. I am free now. I'm free to choose to follow him, and I choose him. Romans says this in Romans 5:10, for if we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, and much more, have been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. You know, that word reconcile, it's an accountant term. You know, you reconcile your bank. Okay, you make sure everything adds up. So we were reconciled to God. Everything matches up now. You're in Christ, everything matches up. You're outside of Christ, it doesn't match up. Well, I'll just open up another set of books. No, you can't do that. You find yourself in trouble. You'd be overdraft if you do. This Redeemer, we've been redeemed. Now, you to be redeemed, you have to have a Redeemer. Okay? You have to have a Redeemer. Interesting thing about this Redeemer is that he couldn't be just anyone. He couldn't be somebody, Joe Blow, off the street. He had to be a part of your family. He had to be a part of your family to redeem you back. He's called the kinsman redeemer. You heard that word? Kinsman redeemer. He's a part of you. And Philippians says this, 2:8, being found in appearance as a man. He stepped out of heaven, humbled himself. It says here, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death. Obedient is this, is that before the foundations of the world, Scripture says that Christ was slain. He was slain before. God's going to create everything. Before he said, bara, before he said, let there be light, before he said, let there be the heavens, or before he said, let there be the earth, let there be the seas, let there be the, before he said, let there be anything. After the counsel of his own will, after they, the Trinity, were together, it was their desire to create the Trinity, the fullness of God. It was God who was in Christ reconciling the world. In this is that God looked and he saw Adam and he saw Eve. He saw them before they were created. He saw you before you were even born, even thought of. He saw them and he saw what they were going to do. He saw the tempter come. He saw the tempter go to Eve. He saw that Eve would give in. He saw that Eve would present it to her husband. The husband would make a choice to walk in this. He saw that before it even happened. And yet he chose still to create us, to create everything. It just shows how much he loves us, because we could all be robots. Do the will of God. Do the will of God. Do the will of God. No. He chose to create us with a free will. He chose us, and there is no free will if there's not a choice. And so now there's a choice. And so this Redeemer from the beginning is Christ, and Christ would say to the Father, I'll do it. I'll be the Redeemer. And the Holy Spirit says, and I'll be the power behind the resurrection. And that's what happened. And so we have been redeemed by a kinsman redeemer. He was found in the appearance as a man. He stepped out of him, humbled himself, became obedient to the point of the death. The death here is representative of what we deserve, but he took in my place. Even the death of the cross. Now, I just want you to think about how many times God has been good and merciful to you. How many times, you know? I mean, it's innumerable. We were talking the other day, Susie and I were talking about how many times God has rescued me, saved me from death. And she just kept going and going and going. My list is like this. I mean, I have stories that I should be dead many times over right now. Do you have stories like that? Yep. It's your testimony. It is. How many times have you come to the point of the edge of crossing the line, okay? I know Thomas just almost crossed it a little while back. And Rhonda too, you know. I mean, all of us have had these moments where we just come to that. How many times has he? All I can say is that we're alive because of him. We're conscious of our being, of who we are, because of him. The fact that we can draw our next breath is because of him. He holds all things together, and in him all things consist. Life and this world and all that there is and everything that there is. He's rescued us over and over and over again. In Acts chapter 17, verse 28, it says, for in him we live and move and have our being. And that we are also his offspring, as those poets, they were speaking there. This here is, this is just a synopsis of where we are and who we are with God. He, in him we move and have our being. And then the writer here of Psalm 107 begins to describe the spiritual condition of the children of Israel while they were in the wilderness. They're empty, no direction, searching, not finding, not satisfied, turmoil, you name it. A lot like us before we came to Christ. A lot like this before. I want to say one thing. You didn't find Jesus. Jesus found you. I wasn't looking for him. A lot of people, they're not looking for him, but then all at once he shows up, and then when he shows up, there's goodness there. goodness that we have never realized before. So it says there in verse 4, they've wandered in the wilderness in a desolate way. The word desolate means desert, no provisions, nothing. And they found no city to dwell in. There was no place to go to. They were hungry and their souls faint and thirsty and their souls fainted in them. We know that God provided the rock, and Moses goes to the rock and first time he strikes the rock. That was good. God says, strike the rock. Second time he goes to it and he's mad. Moses is mad at him. And he says, shall we strike this rock, you rebels? And he was mad at him. God didn't tell him to strike the rock the second time. He told him to speak to the rock. The first time speaks of Christ being smitten for us, for our sins. And then we get refreshed by the power of the Holy Spirit, which flows out from that sacrifice of him. The second time, he just says, speak to the rock. The second time, all we have to do is come and speak to Jesus and talk to Jesus, and we get refreshed. Well, he ruined the picture when he struck the rock. And so God says, uh-oh, son, you messed up. You don't get to go in. And that was the penalty. He didn't get to go into the promised land. He could see it. He took him up on the top of a hill, a mountain, and he says, see over there and look as far as you can see, and as far as you can see, and as far as you can see, that's all going to be a part of land. But, son, you don't get to go in. And that was it. So their soul fainted them in them. And then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. I want to point out that word distresses. In other words, it's plural, it's more than one. And he led them forth by the right way that they might go to a city for a dwelling place. In other words, this is all that he's saying. This is the next step is by faith. You read the book of Hebrews chapter 11, and every single one of these, that they are taking steps, and every aspect of every single one of them in that time was by faith. And it says, by faith, Abraham, by faith, Jacob, by faith, Moses, every one of them, it was by faith. Now, verse 4 is a practical illustration and example for us as believers to examine, to look and see, to see what it relates to us. How does it relate to us? Whether or not it matches up with what we're going through. I love that about Scripture. There are things about what we see that we go through. Are we in a wilderness? Sometimes you feel like it. Sometimes you feel like you're in a wilderness. The wilderness here in Sinai during that time was a desert. It was a desolate place. But the reason why they were there was because of their unbelief. They could have gone in. They could have gone right into the promised land. But because of their unbelief, they weren't privileged to go in. So the application for us is that we can do the same thing. I know you love the Lord. You belong to God. You've called him if you're born again. You love the Lord. But there's times that we fail in our faith. You catch that? We fail in our faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We fail in that thing that we're hoping for, that it'll be solid rock when we take a step, but then we doubt. We go, really? I don't know. You know, we look at the circumstance, and we're like Peter. Once we looked at the circumstance, I'm willing to get out of the boat, get out of the comfort zone. I'm willing to take this step and find the solid rock in the water. But then when I look around, it doesn't make sense. And then faith begins to flee. Faith begins to flee. And when faith flees, fear enters, right? Where fear is, faith isn't. And that's what happens. And we can be like that. It comes in, and when we fail in that, our life can end up in a desolate place. And we can stay there unless we turn and surrender and submit ourselves to God and just listen to him. You know that you have a heart now that hears God? You hear him. I hear him. And when he speaks to us, you'll hear things like, this is the way, walk in it. No, that's not the way. Listen. Don't listen. Watch. Don't watch. You'll hear those things. That's the Holy Spirit leading and guiding us. Well, this was a lot for them, as that they were being led out of this place into this wilderness, and they were, their souls were fainting, and they were crying out to the Lord. And as they were there, their faith had begun to wane, and they were struggling to believe and trust God, and their lives became desolate. Hebrews 3, verse 18 and 19 says, "And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest? But to those who did not obey." So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. The challenge is, we're spiritual. Born, I just can't say that enough. You're born again. You're alive in the Spirit. And we're just as Eve. Eve was alive in the Spirit before she sinned. And she heard, did God really say? Is that what God means? He knows that if you do this, that won't happen. And the challenge is, this is listen to the truth or listen to the lie. And she listened to the lie. Adam listened to the lie. And what happened? He walked into sin. He didn't fall into sin. I'm going to point that out. You don't fall into sin. You walk into sin. Eyes wide open. His eyes were wide open. He saw whatever it was she had in her hand, and he took a bite. Big mistake. And it was unbelief. He did not get to enter in. All those that would come later would not enter in because of one thing. They failed to believe and to trust God. And that's the challenge that the enemy does with us when we have a battle, a spiritual battle going on. Did he really say, isn't it? And to take the scripture and turn it and twist it to make it mean something that it doesn't apply to that. Be careful. Be the good students of the Word of God, because the enemy is out there as a roaring lion. And he's seeking to whom he may devour. He's looking out to see who he can take away and cause him to listen to the lie and believe the lie. Well, see, they came to the end of themselves. And, you know, this isn't really a bad thing. And they cried out to the Lord. It's actually a good thing. When we come to the end of ourselves, it's an important step in our spiritual walk. It's an important step to come to the end of yourself. Blessed are the poor in spirit. That means blessed are the poor, are the bankrupt. You're at the end of yourself. It's that place where we quit trying and we realize, I don't have it. I can't do this. This is too much. This is a God thing. And I'm just a man. And I got to take a step in the Spirit, and I can't do this, God. It's a good thing to come to the end of yourself. It's a good thing to surrender and trust. It brings us to that place of trust and taking a step of faith and being obedient and doing it just as Jesus did, to the point of the death of the cross. You die when you do this. You die to yourself. It's called living a crucified life. Pick up your cross and deny yourself and follow me. It's a part of being who we are and learning and getting closer to Christ and getting closer to the Father and allowing the Holy Spirit to teach us and guide us and give us understanding of where we are. Jeremiah 29:11. Everybody goes, because we know what Jeremiah says here. "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." Oh, Lord, thank you. That just fits so well in my heart. "Then you will call upon me." This is after he's done this. "Yeah, I know I thought to you, and this is where I am. I'm not against you." Then, after you realize this, "you will call upon me. You know I'm not against you. I'm for you. I'm on your side. I sent my only son into this world to die for you, to reconcile you, to bring you back, to redeem you, to pay for you what you couldn't pay for." Then you will call upon me when we realize this, oh Lord, and go and pray to me, oh Lord, I hear you. I will listen to you. Isn't that good? I will listen to you, Lord. And you will seek me and find me. This is a part that a lot of times we don't cross over. It doesn't translate. "And you seek me and find me." God wants us to seek him. You know what? I don't see God, but I seek God. It's not about walking by sight. It's about walking by faith. I seek God. I seek after him. I seek for his heart. I seek for his mind. I seek for his will. I seek for him to move.
I seek for him to change things the way that he wants to change them. Seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. It's not just a little bit of your heart. Okay, God, I'm praying today. Well, Lord, why didn't you answer? Did you do it with all your heart? What's it going to take? How much of you is it going to take for you to come to me? Well, sometimes the Ezekiel principle comes in. We're in the water. You've heard me share this the last few weeks. You're in your feet. You're standing there, and you're, you know, hey, that's good. You got the foundation right. You're standing on your feet. You got your feet in the water. And then God says, okay, come on, step in a little deeper here. The water now is up to our knees, you know, and as we're walking there, we're beginning to bend our knees and pray a little more, you know. I think I'll just rest here. I think I'll just stop here. No, 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 no. There's more to it. Then the water, he says, step in. He says, it gets up to his waist. That means that you've been praying. You've been on, you got the foundation. You got the rock. And now you're talking to others to bring them in. That's talking about the reproductive part of a Christian's life. You're winning people. Oh, man, that feels so good. I think that's good enough. God says, oh, no, no, no. Get in up to your chest. It's going to cover your heart. When you search for me with all your heart, you're doing good this part. You're doing pretty good here, and you're doing really well here, but there's still more. How much more? All of your heart. Where are you? Adam, where are you? Put your name in there. Are you there? Is your heart in it? Have you come that deep? Then God says, come on, a little deeper. Get in over your head. When you search for me with all your heart, this is what happens. You get in there and you get in all with all your heart. God hears that cry when we are in with all of our heart. When all of our hearts are, he's just a prayer away. And it says that he delivered them out of their distresses. That word distress means hardships, afflictions, and sufferings. You know, when Paul, he's talking about praying, and he's talking about praying in the Spirit, and he's talking about groanings. You ever groaned in prayer? It's this, oh, oh. Not that. It's that place where you groan in your heart. I don't know what to do, Lord. Oh, that's that. Do you know that's prayer? Because he looks in the heart and he searches the heart. And as he searches the heart, he sees and hears that groaning of what's going on. I'm broken, I'm hurting, I'm in pain, and I don't know what to do. I don't know how to handle this. Oh God. There's a translation there in the Spirit that God understands. And he answers according to that. He delivers from our distresses as he does. The Holy Spirit comes and intervenes. Oh, give thanks to the Lord for the Holy Spirit. He leads us and he guides us into all truth. He leads us to look to Jesus. And he leads us to look for the right way to go, it says here. Jesus said this in John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. He is the way. The early church was called the people of the way. They weren't called Christians yet. They were called the people of the way. And as I said, verse 1 is a command, first of all, to give thanks. And verse 8 now here is going to be a plea for everyone to reflect and realize that it's the Lord that we should be giving thanks to. And this is repeated all the way through this psalm, and it's repeated 12 times. In the Psalms. And it says, oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his mercy, for his goodness, and for his wonderful works to the children of men. He says it again in verse 15, 21, and 31. For he satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness. Those who sat in darkness and in the shadow of death, bound in affliction and irons, because they rebelled against the words of the heart, the words of the of God, and despised the counsel of the Most High. Therefore he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down, and there was none to help. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them. Here he says it again, that he saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of the darkness and the shadow of death and broke their chains in pieces. The point is, some refuse to give thanks to the Lord. No, I'm a self-made man. You know, I did it my way. You know, like Frank Sinatra, I did it my way. No one gave me what I have. I did it all myself. They're all about themselves. And we live in that time where people are going to be like that. They're going to be cold and unthankful. Paul tells Timothy in chapter 3, verse 1, but know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. Are we there? Yeah. And we see this. This is what identifies the last days. I say the last moments now. For men will be lovers of themselves. Oh, yeah. Lovers of money. Oh, yeah. Boasters, proud, blasphemers. See that all the time. Disobedient to parents. Now, this is talking to kids. How many times have you seen little kids today? I mean, talking back and telling their mom and dad what to do, and the mom and dad don't do anything. It's like taking my fingers on a chalkboard. My boys, that never happened in my house, and you can talk to my boys about it. They disobedient? I don't think so. Unthankful? And then there we are, unthankful and unholy. In verse 9 there, it identifies, he satisfies the longing soul. You know this. Mankind's soul longs for God, even though they don't know it. They long for God. And so, in Christ is the only one who can satisfy that longing for God. He's the only one. No man comes to the Father except by me. There's only one way to the Father, and that's through the Son. We know of Solomon, in that he tried to fill everything with his life that was under the sun, and his response was, all his vanity is chasing after the wind. You're not going to go anywhere. You know, chasing after the wind, vanity, it's like trying to paddle on your surfboard and you're not in the water. Here comes a big one. You know. All you guys know that I'm an old surfer, so I throw in a surfing analogy every once in a while. In verse 10 and 11, when Jesus began his ministry there in Capernaum in Matthew chapter 4, it says that those who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And this psalm identifies why they were in darkness is because they had rejected God's word. Every time the light is turned off, what happens? Darkness enters in. You turn off the light, and there's darkness. You turn off the word of God, darkness. The enemy is right there, trying to bring dark into light. And so he's trying to counter the light, but the light is greater than the darkness. But Jesus said this in John 3:17, that men love darkness rather than the light, lest they come to the light and their sins be exposed or revealed. They would rather walk in the darkness rather than in the light. Now, throughout Scripture, it's shown us that the pride of man's heart has kept him from humbling himself and crying out to the Lord. I can do this. I'm that. I'm this. And I don't. Rather than saying, yes, Lord, it was me, rather than, as Jeremiah says, acknowledging it and coming into the light and letting the light expose it, and then they should be turned and saved and be healed. Every person has good reason to give thanks. We all do. We've just went through a whole bunch of them. And the reason is because God, as he says here, has broken the chains of the bondage to sin. He's broken the chains that held you in me. We're free. I'm free. I'm free to choose to walk with God, or I'm free to choose not to walk with God. Before, I didn't have any choice, but now I have a choice, and I choose him. It was his life that truly brought and bought our abundant spiritual life. He bought us, he paid for us, and when he did, he says he would give us that abundant life filled with love, joy, peace, and grace. The word grace is the foundation and is part of the building blocks of the New Jerusalem of heaven. Do you know what grace is? Grace is forgiving someone who needs forgiveness but isn't worthy or deserving of forgiveness. Let me say that again. Grace is forgiving someone who needs forgiveness but isn't worthy or deserving of forgiveness. That's me. That describes me. I'm not worthy of it. I don't deserve it. I didn't do anything. But he did it anyway. For by grace you have been saved by faith. It's the gift of God, but not by works, lest any man should boast. It's a gift. He gave it to us. I'm going to finish here with the Thanksgiving proclamation. And I do this every year. Of Abraham Lincoln. It is the duty of nations as well as of men to own their dependence upon the overruling power of God, to confess their sins and transgressions in humble sorrow, yet with assured hope that genuine repentance will lead to mercy and pardon, and to recognize the sublime truth announced in the Holy Scriptures and proven by all history that those nations are blessed whose God is the Lord. We know that by his divine law, nations like individuals are subjected to punishment and chastisement in this world. May we not justly fear that the awful calamity of civil war, which now desolates the land, may be a punishment inflicted upon us for our presumptuous sins to the needful end of the national reformation as a whole people. We have been the recipients of the choicest bounties of heaven. We have been preserved many years in peace and prosperity. We have grown in number, wealth, and power as not other nations have grown. But we have forgotten God. We have forgotten the gracious hand which preserved us in peace and multiplied and enriched and strengthened us. And we have vainly imagined in the deceitfulness of our hearts that all these blessings were pronounced by some superior wisdom and virtue of our own. Intoxicated with unbroken success, what insight this man had. It's almost prophetical that he would look and see across the scenes of our nation as it grew to where we are today. Intoxicated with unbroken success, we have become too self-sufficient to feel the necessity of redeeming and preserving grace, too proud to pray to the God that made us. It has seemed to me fit and proper that God should be solemnly, reverently, and gracefully acknowledged as with one heart and one voice by the whole American people. I do therefore invite my fellow citizens in every part of the United States, and also those who are at sea and those who are sojourning in foreign lands, to set apart and observe that last Thursday of November as a day of thanksgiving and praise to our beneficent, is that right? Okay, you guys got it. Father who dwells in the heavens, Abraham Lincoln. That's a good word for us, isn't it? Yeah. Well, that's where we are today. We're going to sing our benediction, then we're going to fellowship, and we're going to ask the guys if we could take the chairs to about right here, and all these first five chairs, and just stack them over here on these chairs, and then we're going to slowly move, as the ladies did all the decorations, slowly move the tables over. You know, and as you move them in, you can start stacking in some chairs in behind them and around them. We're going to do, as you can see, three on each side until we get them all set. So everybody ready? All right, let's all stand. Ed said, make it short, we're hungry. I did my best, Ed. The Lord bless thee and keep thee.
The Lord make his face to shine upon thee, and be gracious unto thee, and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. And we just abide in the enduring peace of God and that rules our hearts. So shalom, bless each other, and let's have a good time. And what, Susie? Oh, yeah, let me, that good idea. Lord, we thank you for this food too. Lord, we ask that you would bless it, Lord, as we just endeavor to put everything together, and we ask that you'd bless our time in fellowship. And we thank you for this food, Father, and those who prepared it. We pray a blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 All right. Guys, busy right here. This way.